Welcome, my friend. We have an incredible episode with you today because we're really excited to announce one of our newest team members here at Head to Toe is a fitness, rehab, movement rock star, legendary in his own right, and now officially on the roster here. Kimo, welcome, my friend.
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for being here, and it's really exciting. I feel like this is a long time coming. You've had such a long interaction history with Head to Toe and with Dr. Annie and with a lot of our team, and now you find yourself here.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, fate. I'm just trying to go down the river as it guides me and not just stay off the rocks and not freak out when the rapids start coming. But definitely, it's been a long time coming. This is something I've known Dr. Annie and her family for, I don't know, 15 or so years. We used to go take our boys skiing together. I've trained her husband, trained her boys, and always daydreamed about working together. And just the way circumstances ended up developing, she just was there with her catcher's mitt right at the right moment, and here I am.
Serendipity.
Yeah.
It is a little bit of fate, a little bit of serendipity. And as long as I've known Annie, and as long as we worked together, which is 7 or 8 years, she's sung your praises and had so much great things to say about your expertise, because it's pretty unique. You know, you've really developed a diverse set of skills, but also a deep set of skills, and how you help people is pretty specific to you. And that's what I'd like to get into today.
Cool.
So talk to us a little bit, you know, just give us kind of that little bit of that overview. How did you get involved in kind of the movement rehab industry? What was the primary draw? And take us back to that beginning of your journey.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up as an active kid playing sports, played a bunch of tennis growing up, was able to ski. In high school, played on the soccer team, played varsity tennis, got beat up on the wrestling team. I went to college, ended up getting a minor in exercise science with an emphasis on coaching, and my major was sociology and anthropology, and I really used both of those things every day, tons and tons and tons, especially the sociological component, you know, trying to really figure out what planet a person's coming from and what language to talk to them and what's going to resonate faster and how I can really provide colorful illustrations so that they understand what's going on. So then I started training. Actually, I was a snowboard rep, an outside rep for a big brand. And it was when my oldest boy was like 2 years old. And so that rep business, that's a young guy with no kids. And so I just was away too much, working too long hours, and noticed that it was hurting my family. So I decided I needed to get into something else. At that time, my wife, now ex-wife, started to get a personal trainer. So this gal, just to work off baby fat, because every time she'd go out, her three-wheeled stroller thing would be flatted and she'd get so frustrated. So she went over to one of the big gyms and hired a trainer. And this gal all of a sudden decided that I'd be a great trainer. So while I was frustrated with my snowboard rep position, I decided just to switch gears and then become a personal trainer. You know, my headspace was just like, I'll do whatever I need to get it going. So I had that opportunity, jumped into it, and then so trained at the big gym for 8 years, and then fell into a PT and rehab where I learned a whole bunch that really rounded out and sculpted like the way that I look at stuff. So definitely it's fitness, but with a heavy corrective. I am told that I'm very creative. So like when I was at the big gym, I was figuring out ways to use the current standing equipment in unorthodox manners to provide the kind of loading that I wanted to, just natural draw to core stability and balance. And so blended those together. So I worked at the PT and rehab for about 2 years and then started my own brand. It was called Anvil Fitness. I ran it for a year or so out of a friend's CrossFit box up in Mukilteo. Decided I needed my own space and then had a place up in Linwood for about 10 or so years. And then COVID happened and like 2 weeks after I signed my lease, the world shut down. So I was stuck there for a second, but then luckily the next day, you know, a person gave a call looking for space. So I was able to jump out of my lease somehow,
rebuilt
my gym in my garage in Edmonds, trained out of there for, you know, 3 or so years, decided I needed to get it out of my house and separate my business from my family life. And then Dr. Annie was just so awesome. She let me run my business out of here. So all for a long, long time, I was already referring all my clients over here. And so then I got to train out of here and meet all the doctors. You know, I'd met them already from getting worked on and stuff, but then just to be able to be here all the time and see them all the time and see what the deal is, and just had a deal where, so I did that for a while, decided I need to shut that down, get a corporate job. That ended up, I got filtered out of that from a big corporate layoff, and then Annie was here again with the catcher's men, boom, and just snatched me up, and then finally was able to make me a staffer, and then so just blending in already, and it's amazing. These guys are so supportive. They give me so much love and confidence, and it's been just amazing.
I love it. So that, thank you.
That was a long story.
It's our life stories are oftentimes a journey, you know, and they're a winding road, and typically it's not a straight path from where you started to where you are. But, you know, interesting call outs for me is that you started in the physical fitness space and functional, kind of with an emphasis and orientation towards functional fitness and towards stability, balance. And I've heard you bring those up before in the past when other times that we've talked and other episodes that we've had you on. And I know that those are key things. I want to get into that methodology and your approach, but I love that, you know, you really, through a variety of different environments, both, you know, big gym, big box environments, as well as more, you know, smaller environments, your own kind of doing your own thing, you really developed a comprehensive and specific methodology that blends a lot of different elements together, both from a strength building to, again, you know, core balance, PT rehab corrective, you know, all of those types of things into your approach today, which is cool.
Yeah, it's different, but it's all parts of a toolbox that I've been developing, and I've been just picking tools up off the side of the road. Like ground scores are the best, and picking up different tools as going through my different journey, different parts of my life, and just learning a lot from clients and figuring out, you know, the people end of it and how to really get into somebody's head. So when you would work with me in a one-on-one setting, it'd usually be more of an intimate setting. And it's way more than just personal training. We're talking about, you know, yourself, your mind.
Kind of self-concept, self-belief, kind of those types of things.
Yeah, in terms self-positioning in society and stress and how to really look at things, because it's all integrated. So if you can't quiet your mind and you can't get into understanding what your body's doing, you're not going to be able to get the physiological response that you're looking for. So teaching a person to maybe try to get more comfortable within their own skin, learn more about themselves, take that time to, you know, be by yourself in a quiet space. Like, it's the hardest to do and nobody likes to do it, but that's really where the work gets done.
So it's integrated holistic approach in that way that it looks at, you know, your mental self, your self-image, self-view, that self-dialogue that you're having, and linking that back then to the physiological responses and the physiological adaptations that you really want to affect.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always about meeting the person where they are right then. It's about providing, you know, figuring out what does this person need here today, right now. You know, we could have a long map, a roadmap for goals, and this may be this periodization that we're trying to achieve. We're trying to hit these particular strength markers by a certain time. But within that, everybody shows up different every day. So that's who you have to be with. You know, the biggest things I've been thinking about so much is you can't worry about the future because it doesn't exist. It hasn't happened. You can't worry about the past. It's met all they are. It doesn't exist anymore. Those are just memories that have shaped us and so either damaged us or helped us to figure out who we are and how we're going to react to certain situations. But it's truly the present, and trying to stay present and be in the present is the most important thing. So the same thing with fitness, you know, you're worried about all this other extraneous stuff while you're trying to weight train, and you're distracted and you're going to get hurt, you know. Or same thing if you're looking out the back window, you're thinking about what was and not what is. And so that's a huge, huge part of it. And then the, you know, tying that back into just the self, and it ties into like core stability. We all want to have stability. And so the only way that we can provide that is within ourselves, from ourselves. It's not going to come from the outside. So people think it's stability, family life, work life, all those different things. you can't get that anywhere else unless you make it for yourself. It's how you perceive what's going on and how you deal with the information that's being presented to you.
It's just like Taylor Swift sings to us, you're on your own, kid. You always have been. It's a self-reliant message.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I think that's really an artful and interesting way to talk about it. I've commented in the past a long time ago, I sometimes think about you as the movement monk. You bring in both a physiological knowledge as well as an interior, intellectual, spiritual, emotional kind of framework that can help with that healing process and with the process also of unlocking, you know, your next level and your potential and achieving your goals, right? So much of what is possible for us comes down to what we believe to be true about ourselves and where our focus is, whether that's future-oriented or past-oriented or present-oriented. So I think you bring up a really great point and something that's oftentimes missed when we look at personalized treatment programs.
Yeah. So it's cool to be able to be into a personalized treatment program. And a lot of times it just depends on what's going on in that person's life. A lot of times it would end up being like a psych session. A lot of times it might be just a dynamic stretching session or trigger pointing session. So you just have to wait for all the stars to align for when it just turns into the super beatdown. So when we got everything going, we can just fire, we can work out really hard and get everything going the way that we want to go it and just try to get those occurrences to happen with a higher frequency so that we can, you know, propel ourselves towards our goal upward.
You mentioned balance and stability. Core stability, yep. You know, is one of the things you were referencing there. Talk to us a little bit about how you look at those two things as being central to a person's capability.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you can only produce as much force as you can stabilize. You can only decelerate as much force as you can stabilize. So I just remember when I was at the big gym, like all the buff Bill guys they wouldn't talk to me because I was kind of a skinny kid. They would talk. I have big calves, but that's from my half Japanese or half Okinawan, and we all got big calves. And, you know, those guys would have calf envy and be coming, and that they'd ask me, what do you do to train your calves? I'm like, bro, nothing. You know, they'd get bitter and walk off. But otherwise, they wouldn't talk to me because I wasn't all giant yoked out. I mean, because my genetic disposition doesn't really facilitate that, and I'm not taking drugs or, you know, doing subs and stuff like that. And a lot of times, guys, you know, they look for this aesthetic girth, but it's not functional. So if you're so big, but you can't take care of your hind end when you're, you know, when it's time to do that, or, you know, or be able to move and get into that small space, it doesn't serve you well at all. So really that core stability and stability, that's the main place. And the reason why I brought up the buff guys was that they would mock or laugh at some of the unorthodox core stability drills that I do using a Swiss ball or a cable or both at the same time would be that if they had better core stability, their bench would go up, their back squat would go up, their deadlift would go up because they can stabilize and produce more force. And so it's really the foundation for everything, you know, getting all the joint segments to stay in place enough so that we can get the muscles to work around the joints to get fit.
You know, I agree with you so much. It really wasn't until I discovered old school CrossFit with Dave Warner, former Navy SEAL and really smart, super smart guy. Way back in the day, he had one of the first affiliates, CrossFit Level 4 here in Seattle. And it was there with working with Dave and his team, really exceptional coaches, that I started to understand what core stability, bracing, and how all of those things really translated over into the production of power.
Yes.
You know, both just pure, you know, classic powerlifting style power, but also dynamic kind of explosive power. And it took a long time to learn how to sync all of those things up together and how to fire those muscles properly and how to stabilize. And I can think so much about the deadlifts, you know, about learning how to brace that core function properly to really start to produce some big numbers and produce some big force safely.
Yes. Yeah. Force production is key, and it's important for everybody. It's important for grandma to have force production. So in that story, it would be grandma trips, needs to move her foot out in front of her to catch herself. So that power to get that step through to keep yourself from crashing onto the ground, you know, same thing with, you know, that force production. If I'm working with a batter or a thrower or a rower or a runner, you know, all those different things and getting the sequence of events to happen in the proper order. And so a whole bunch of it is helping a person to relearn their wiring. So we're talking about theoretic light switches that are on the wall here, but you can't see them, you can't touch them, but it's inside your body. And so that's recruitment. And so recruitment is truly the hardest thing. It's the ability to turn things off that are working too much and turning things on that are not working enough. And so that's just, that happens so much in the rehabilitative place. Most people's quads work too much, their calf works too much, their glutes don't work enough, and their hamstrings don't work enough. It's just all these common things. Pec is dominant, backside is lagging. And, you know, we had a podcast the other day and just talking about the importance of somebody starting off would be to get an assessment. You know, you take your car to get assessed with when you don't know what's going on. So you need to figure out what's already working too much, because we need to dial that down. And then we need to activate this stuff on the backside so we can get the kinetic chain all in line. And then we can truly produce force safely and then be able to keep ascending towards your goals. And then you start learning how to keep dialing that stuff in, because it gets out of place as we're going along.
The dynamic, right? It's not like a fixed state where it's, I have achieved the perfect balance and now I never have to do this work again.
Exactly. Ongoing. Yeah, exactly. And so it's about that rewiring and teaching yourself how to cognitively control your body parts, muscle-wise and stuff like that, you know? Because we're wired to fire big muscles before small ones, but the actual chain of events that we want to do things is going to be big muscle prime mover cascading down into the smaller ones, going down into the attachments. That's how we're truly going to get power and force production, you know. So everything's going to come from the hips, not from the you know, from the hand or the elbow. If we're talking about throwing or batting or different things like that, and same thing going down the leg, you know.
Would you say in your experience, most athletes or most active individuals, you know, regardless of sport or regardless of training experience, so they might be relatively new or they might be relatively experienced. Would you say, in your opinion, that most people, when they're coming into the clinic or when you're working with them in a one-on-one scenario, have some sort of imbalance or misfiring or tweaking or optimization that they really need to address?
1,000%. Like everybody, even so, like the highest level athletes, you know, they have extra sets of eyes on them. They have trainers helping them to do this and that. And so a lot of times a person, you know, regular type guys, look, I'm just trying to get fit. I'm not trying to play pro baseball, so I can do it on my own. I don't need a trainer. It's like, actually, you need one more than anybody. And because look at the fact that the most coordinated athletes in the world have help. And so a person doing it on their own, being new at it, there's a massive landscape to navigate, and you got to figure out your place in it. And, you know, don't think it's bad or be ashamed or a waste of money, but because, you know, your physical form, your mental form, that's the one place to invest money. So you're really getting your priorities right. You know, it'd be cool to have a whole ton of money and a rad car and a boat and stuff, but if I'm just a big old slug, I can't do anything. You know, that's where the value is. And the guy that has all the money ends up dying and leaving it, but the guy that has function and health, they have life. And they can really create change and do things with that.
Totally. You want to be more on like the Jeff Bezos side and not the Elon Musk side. You know, Jeff Bezos looking all jacked and ripped these days. He's got his trainers in effect. You know, he's getting his movement analyzed. He's getting his movement assessed. He's getting the best treatment in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got Elon who's just like taking some Ozempic or some glutide. And not to down that at all. But again, it's just, you know, it's interesting if you think, if I had all the resources in the world, or infinite resources, which is, one could argue that both of those gentlemen have infinite resources, you say, I'd have the best of the best of everything. And to your point, that's not the case, right? You can look at so many people who, you know, who might have wealth or might have abundance in one area, but they lack that physical and mental abundance and that connection to movement and their ability to produce force and their ability to do things with their own body, which, you know, in so many ways, when you lose that and when that's gone,
that's when you realize it. That's when you can't bend out of it on the toilet, or you can't do anything for yourself. You need someone to help you, like, you know, carry the tools in from the car, the groceries, just do all, even just the basic stuff. It's like really cool to be able to be self-sufficient, and, you know, because nobody likes having to ask for help. And so maybe it's an ego thing or a pride thing. And so really try to open yourself up to being allowing yourself to be helped. And it's not bad.
I think it's an awareness thing sometimes. Yeah. I just don't think people even know that there's that help available to them and that it could benefit them in such a profound way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of situations like that. There's resources out there, but you don't know how to find them. You know, so you just got to start poking around and talking to people and networking.
What are some, you mentioned that self-awareness and starting to build that orientation around knowing when your body is in or out of alignment. But for a person who hasn't gone through that, what are some of the symptoms or signals that if they were listening to this, they'd be like, wait a minute, you're talking about things that I'm experiencing and now I'm realizing I probably have some kind of misalignment, misfiring thing going on. I should go get help on that, or I should come in and see chemo and the team. What are the kinds of things a person would notice?
Yeah, that tells me like pain, lack of function, lack of capacity, lack of endurance. You just can't do the things that you want to do because you're just like, you don't got it. And so that's, you know, as everybody gets older, they really need to make sure they're getting into a strength program, and it doesn't have to be trying to be giant or anything like that. It's just getting that compression on the bones, get that pulling on the bones. So we're fighting our osteoporosis. The biggest thing too is everybody's got all these tendinopathies and different things like that. And so basically we get trapped in these small fields of movement, these small range of motions, and those repetitive overuse injuries, that's what ends up messing somebody up. You know, pain and lack of function are the biggest things. And the thing to remember is that, or to know, is that joints need to go through the full range of motion to prevent that partial range of motion stuff from hurting you. Thinking about, you know, to achieve balance in your body and your posture, you need to think about your shape habituation. Where do you live? Are you crunched up in a ball, rocking on your computer, doing all those different things? Because that, you get, just like your grandma would say, sit up straight, you're going to get stuck like that. You know, it's totally true. So a big thing would be like, look where you live and then try to do things that oppose that shape to open you up, to lengthen, to get taller, to get bigger in that sense too, is a really big place to start. And it doesn't have to be any kind of complex weight training. You don't need tools. It's just kind of like just a little bit of help.
What do you think is the biggest misconception or misbelief or error of thinking that people have when it comes to understanding that they need help and then taking action to get that help?
Ooh, that could be all kinds of different things. Like, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't know who to talk to. Maybe lack of confidence, you know, embarrassed. Everybody is going to the gym to get better, you know. So if you encounter somebody that's scorning you from going there because you don't think you're the picture of health, that's the guy with the problem. That's the guy that's totally not understanding what's going on, because that's all those places are for everybody, you know. So the other thing too, I guess, would be get over yourself. Nobody's watching, you know. So a person is self-conscious and worried about people looking at them and stuff like that. Nobody's looking. Do you, and you want to get better that way. And then you stop letting these exterior, extraneous things shape you and guide you and force the way that you work. You can walk boldly through life because you're the one steering it. Everybody else is, they're worried. They're all in their head. They think you're looking at them, you know? So it turns into this silly game.
Yeah, it's the subtle art of not giving AF. Right?
Yes.
It goes back to that worrying less about what other people think and worrying more about pushing your capacity and challenging those self-doubts and challenging those limiting beliefs and recognizing that you have tremendous capacity for change and that your best self is waiting there for you, calling out to you, desperately yearning for you to work and take action towards realizing that.
Yeah, the system's designed to be loaded. It wants to be loaded, and you know, only way of doing it is moving that body. And it's a different picture for all these different people at different age demographics, but everybody can have that. You know, and it's about, you know, overcoming those feelings of, you know, uncertainty or whatever. The gym or fitness can be, or movement can be, just an amazing vehicle to show yourself or allow yourself to realize you can. And then it would happen all the time in training situations. You know, I'm going to line somebody with a drill set and they're like, I don't know, that looks too hard. I don't know, that looks too heavy. And they're like, next thing you know, they're doing it. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I totally did. I'm like, I know you could. That's why I selected that drill set. And I knew it would be a little bit of a struggle. But look what happened. You overcame it. And now you just add another tool to your toolbox. And you are just that much more confident. And you feel so much better. So it's a really cool vehicle to help build self-esteem, to help build self-awareness, to help build oneness with yourself. And that's one thing that really needs to happen.
Kimo, I love it. Spoken like a true movement monk. Put that on your business card.
No, that's good.
Thank you for being on the show again. We love having you on the show. Yes, really excited to have you, you know, landed here for the time being at Head to Toe in a more official capacity. Excited to keep bringing your unique insights, both philosophical as well as functional and physiological, to our patients and to our future patients. You're doing a lot of great things for the world. I just want to say thanks.
Thank you.
Awesome. Until next time, thanks for being here with us. We appreciate you, and we will catch you on the next episode.